Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, March 26, 2024. I hope your week is off to a great start. I hope you had a big weekend. I talked to someone who listens to the podcast the other day, and he said, no, I got to do what you say. I got to spend more time doing things that make me feel most like myself. I hope you did that over the weekend. I'm quoting someone quoting me. That is the height of wankery, the height of self-referential, self-congratulatory. You know what it's like, that gesture that I just made, referring to someone quoting me to me. It's the equivalent of watching fucking Netflix, because I swear, everything you watch on Netflix, all they do, and I mean all they do, is talk about how Netflix is filming this, or they're filming this for Netflix. And it's like, who gives a shit, okay? We know what's happening. We know it's a con. We know you want our money, and you're gonna get it. Just pretend like this is pretend like you're not such a toady to the corporation. I want to use a stronger word, but the stronger word is inappropriate, I believe, to say don't be a blank to the corporation. I don't feel like that. I feel like that dishonors people. To say don't be a blank to the corporation. But don't be a blank to the corporation. And the word I'm talking about starts with an S. I think it's disrespectful to use that word in any other fashion than the one that we know it's actually meant to be used for. Excuse me. Anyway, I hope you had a great weekend. A lot happening here. I don't know how much I'll get to. Could I get to my life? Well, that's probably most interesting to you. I could get to, Vladimir Putin got a little hornet's nest on his hand there. And let's not lose our humanity. Those were real people. Those weren't Russian soldiers that were slaughtered in that musical hall by those terrorists. Putin's got a lot on his hands. The fucking knucklehead who drove the ship into the Key Bridge in Baltimore got a lot on his hands. Boy, aren't you glad you're not an insurance company this morning? What else is going on in the world? There's an NCAA tournament that San Diego State is still in. Give it up to the Aztecs, making it to the Sweet 16. They will unfortunately have to have a rematch of last year's final and play the University of Connecticut and their increasingly thin-skinned coach, Dan Hurley. Bruh, you won. You're on top. You're UConn. Stop fighting with fans and whining about the conference and just fucking play basketball, okay, Dan Hurley? You know who my favorite player is in the NCAA tournament? And I drove my wife crazy. I know this is not a sports podcast, but on Sunday morning, because we had a night, there's so much happening. We had the bridge. It doesn't seem to be terrorism, as the guy just drives a ship from a terrorist part of the world into one of the great ports of North America and fucking blocks the whole channel forever. I hope there are lots of survivors and no people who did not make it out of there. I don't know what time the boat crashed into the boat, the tanker carrying our disposable goods to us. I don't know what time it happened, but I hope that there are no fatalities there. I've driven across the Key Bridge numerous times. And, you know, if you've ever driven from Atlanta to New York, you know that once you get up past Virginia, it's like really, really expensive driving through tunnels and toll roads. And just, here's a booth we stuck out here. Give us $11. But the Key Bridge, quite substantial. So we have the Key Bridge in Baltimore. Don't know how much more time I'm going to commit to that. What am I, a ship? You've seen The Wire. Go watch season 2. It tells you all about the docks and the ports through the very cynical but very accurate perspective of David Simon. Yeah, I'm hyped this morning. I got a good night's sleep. I'm hyped. So we have the Key Bridge. I'll tell you, the key to my sleep, it's honoring having to pee, everyone. Have I told you that? Yes, the older you get, the more you talk about sleep. You young people out there, you're dumb, young, dumb, and full of cum. You don't care. You just get up and go on adrenaline and amphetamines. Us people, as we age, we need to be very strategic about ensuring we get the best night's sleep so we don't eat too late and we don't drink water past 10 or whatever. I'm a hellion, you know that. But increasingly, you become very strategic about your sleep. I go to bed late. More and more, I go to bed early because I do comedy less and less. But historically, I go to bed late and get up early with my daughter. I'm the first one up. Can you believe it? Well, going to bed a little bit earlier and getting up early, the key to getting a decent night, let's say 7, you know, the sleep cycle matters, 7.5 hours, is honoring having to take a leak, having to use the loo, having to take a pee. If you wake up at 5:30 and say, all right, I can hold it for another hour and a half, it jacks up that part of the sleep. Just get up. This is a podcast where you learn how to sleep. What's next? Am I going to teach you how to breathe? Yes, I will teach you. Just take a deep diaphragmatic. Like I tell my daughter, you can't fall asleep if your eyes are open. That much I know, okay? You have to close your eyes. Unless you're watching Netflix and you can fall asleep with your eyes open. Because all they're doing is, I know this is filming for Netflix. It's Netflix curse. Well, we've got Netflix in here. Who cares? Fuck Netflix. Honor the pee and you'll feel better. It's tough. You're exhausted. It's like, just put it off. I swear, since I have learned to honor the pee, because sooner or later you're going to have to take a leak in the middle of the night, right? And you get up, if you're going to get up at 6 or 7 and the call comes at 4:30 to take a leak, you might fool yourself and think, you know what, I can make it another hour and a half, another 2 hours. And let me tell you this, you can't. It jacks up your sleep. So just get up, race to the toilet, take a leak. Get back in bed, get next to your partner, get a little more warmth from them, and then go back to sleep for an hour and a half. That's what it has been for me, and that's why you hear me so chipper on this Tuesday morning. Honor it, okay? The key bridge was plowed into. There was and I'm going to talk about, there's so much to talk about. The key bridge was plowed into. Putin's got a mess on his hands with another terrorist attack under his watch. When it's like these guys are like, hey, here's our passports. We're from Tajikistan or Uzbekistan or wherever they are from. And he's like, no, it's Ukraine. Zelensky did this. Like, bro, you already have zero credibility, but what are we doing here? Also, it seems like the suspects, who apparently were filmed being tortured, they look a lot like MMA fighters. And I don't mean like just because they were black and blue. I mean, they look like a lot of guys getting into the ring for the UFC. It looked like to me. Or they resemble. I don't want to say looked like. I'm probably not going to spend too much time on that. Other than let's remember to feel bad for the victims. Because they're not Russian soldiers. They're not Putin. They are citizens of Russia, just like we are citizens of wherever we are living, and they deserve our humanity. It's too easy to say, fuck you, look what happened to you, Putin. But it's those people and their families and their contexts, their whole lives being destroyed, ended. And then think, of course, about all the victims of the people who radiate out from the primary victims. Their lives are ruined because their loved ones are lost. And I think it's, maybe I'm talking about myself, fuck you, Russia. I didn't feel that. But I think we're living in a time where it can't hurt to remind ourselves that we are all human beings. Despite the horrors of the fucking world, despite the fact that that other country, which we have supported so generously for so long, and now we're surprised they don't want to listen to what we're saying as they're fucking slaughtering those people who are throwing rocks at them. You know what I mean? There's like a lot, not a lot of humanity out there in the headlines, But remember, walking around without your phone, you'll see people on the street. We're all just people, including those people who horrifically died, while just trying to watch some music. That would never happen in the United States, because we wouldn't go to see a ballet, or we wouldn't go to... Okay, all right. I doubt I'm going to spend too much time on that. I doubt I'm going to spend too much time on the NCAA basketball tournament. But I am a basketball fan. I used to play basketball. I still love the game. I don't watch the NBA too much because, I grew up in Laker prime time, and that's gone, and I still want the Lakers to win more than anybody else. But I don't know. I guess I just do other shit to waste my time rather than watching the NBA. But, of course, it's the NCAA basketball tournament. We're in the Sweet 16 here, and the player... I got it organized, trust me. I'm a little hot with the coffee and the good night's sleep. I mentioned the terrorist attack in the theater. I mentioned the guy plowing the container ship into the Key Bridge. I mentioned Dan Hurley being a fucking... He's not a whiny baby. He's a champion and he's a tough man. But, dude, just relax a little bit with, you know... pointing all the fingers and arguing the fans, and know how to not turn it off, Dan, but to use it successfully, channel it into the best outcomes. And I know you're the reigning champion of college basketball, and you're pipped to repeat this year. And I hope you do, Dan, because I like UConn, and though I always root for the underdogs, I hope you lose to San Diego State. I've grown up with great respect for the UConn program, and I know one of their best players and apparently highest rated recruits is actually from Georgia, so I'm wishing good things for you, Dan. Just stop arguing with fans and stop being a headline just for the stuff you say. How about let's stick to the court, okay? Just like your dad would have you do. Any case, talked about that a little bit. And then I pause to say, you know who I like in the basketball tournament. And I'm going to tell you who I like in the basketball tournament individually. I'm not going to tell you about a team. But we had a weekend. That's what I will get to. I'm going to get out of this basketball. I'm going to leave the terrorism and the slow-moving terrorism plowing the ship into the bridge aside. And get to this weekend my wife and I had. Because... you know what? My mom, angel, straight from heaven. An angel straight from heaven. She sent us a text on Friday saying, hey, why don't I take the girl on Saturday? Why don't I and your juggling instructor and I take the girl on Saturday and you two can have a date night? And we're like, yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to get to that. We went big. You know, we went big. We went massage. We went dinner. We went to the bar afterward. We hung out in bed looking to try to figure out a way to go to Europe at the end of the year or at the end of the summer. Sunday morning, my wife on the iPad. I'm watching basketball. I'll talk a little bit about our wonderful weekend as a couple. But I want to tell you who I love in the basketball tournament, who I love as a basketball player. Because it reminds me, I think, of me, even though I couldn't sail over the tops of other men. I love the guy. And you can use this in your life. Okay, so I'm going to try to make a metaphor of it, I think. I know I'm losing everybody who does not know anything about basketball. But that's your loss, dude. My favorite player, and he's on every team, is the guy who, when the shot goes up and it hits the basket and everybody is standing around boxing each other out, getting position, doing what you're supposed to do, putting a big ass on a guy and knocking him out of the way to get ready for the rebound. I like the guy who actually goes to the fucking ball. I don't need to put an F word there. I like a guy who actually goes to the ball. He doesn't wait for it to come down. He doesn't have his arms wrapped up in this sumo wrestling match that keeps two guys down on the ground. He goes to the ball, and I swear I've said it a million times, and I know he says it on the court because I've heard him say it. this prototypical guy I'm talking about, he just goes up and goes, I'll get it. And the implication is, you all are doing something else. I'm doing what the task needs. And I think that's very powerful. Not just as a basketball player, but as in life. The guy who, while everyone is kind of in this similar context, watching and letting the events almost come to them, somebody else is like, I'll get it. I'll do what the task demands. I will set up a YouTube channel and make videos every single day. I will have an active Instagram account that puts out videos every, you know what I mean? Like somebody, while everybody else is like waiting, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Here comes the ball. Their ball's going over that way. All of a sudden that guy sees the arc of the ball. You have to understand like the physics of it, I guess. Sees how it's going to carom off, go to the side. And he just goes to the ball and says, I'll get it. You know who does that a lot is Kawhi Leonard, one of the best players in the NBA and a San Diego State alum. Rebounding is, I feel like he said, is where you make your money. I'll get it. I'll get it. I'll go get it. Nobody else wants it. And there's something else about it that it requires effort. It requires some ingenuity. But it just requires the thing that life requires, and that's just trying. Just keep trying. Trying while everyone else is sitting down here not trying, waiting for it to come to him. You just go, I'll get it. And when I'm shooting hoops, I tell you, we got a hoop. We have a lowered hoop in our front yard, in our driveway. My girl and I are playing. I say it to her. I'm like, I'll get it. And now she hears me saying it. And as the ball's bouncing off, she's going to it rather than waiting for the ball to come to her. That's the metaphor, people. People, okay, that's the metaphor. Going to it versus letting it come to you. I love the guy who sails across the top of guys' backs and just goes, give me that shit. You don't want that. You're standing down here boxing somebody out. You're watching your shot. You're not following, or you're getting back on defense. I want the ball. I'll get it. I love that guy, and I almost got a divorce on Sunday by telling my wife how much I love that guy. Because she is sitting on the laptop or the iPad trying to find flights for later in the year to Europe, and she's like doing all this crazy, like, how can we do it for free and do it in style? She's doing all these like points and cards and fares and all this stuff, and I'm like, that's what I'm talking, I'll get it. See? And I would pause the thing and do what every dude does to alienate his woman unconsciously, rewinds the goddamn thing or pauses the thing. They don't want to see it. Stop rewinding, stop pausing and holding it for them. They, and I'm talking about all women here, so I really want to be clear, I'm speaking for all women. On behalf of all women, they don't want to see it. They do not want you to rewind it. They do not want you to pause it. Especially if it's something childish, like a guy flying over the top saying, I'll get it. They don't want to. However, women, if you live with someone or you share a viewing context with someone who pauses something, with someone who says, hey, hold on, babe, I want you to see this. I want you to know it might be juvenile to you and you might not be aroused by the way your partner pauses the TV and rewinds it. And you're like, well, that is a man out there who's taking life, who's grabbing the basketball. Look at the way my man rewinds that. Oh my God, I'm blushing right now. Can people see me? My heart is beating through my chest. The pores on my skin are standing up. I'm almost sweating a little bit watching my man rewind. I know it doesn't happen. I know it doesn't. But I want you to know, women, we do it because we like you. We care. We want you to be involved. Even, here's the thing you have to think outside yourself, if it's the dumb shit that we like. Okay? Not that you don't like dumb shit also, but for whatever reason, we like to show data and evidence and proof points. You would never rewind a Real Housewives of Atlanta to show a glass flying across the room or someone's wig getting pulled out. But we will rewind to find a bit of Chevy Chase dialogue, a bit of hilarity that ensues when an animal falls over backward into a lake. You know what I mean? The stuff that matters in life. It all is because we like you. It might be childish. It might be totally worthless and juvenile to you, and maybe even to the free world. Objectively, people are like, why are you rewinding this? This is fucking dumb. You could have all of that on your side, but I want you to know we do it because we like you. We like you. That's as honest as we, and I, you know, I speak for the manosphere out here. Shout out to Meninists. Or are Meninists men who are feminists, or are they like pro-man? Because I also know that there, I know two groups of pro-maleness, and one of them are men's rights groups, and the other one are NAMBLA, men who like boys. So one is men who likes men, and the other is men who likes boys. And I think they're both gay. We do it because we like you. We like you. And this is our way of, without even calculation, because it happens unconsciously, as you're breathlessly watching us, you're turned on watching us pause, rewind, realize we went back too far. Letting it play, saying, oh shit, I went too far, fast forwarding a little bit more to try to get to the exact space, and then pressing play for something that is going to be to you wildly anticlimactic. You're going to be like, you did what? I'm trying to find flights or whatever it is. I want you to know that gesture, that process, that labor is done unconsciously because we like you. That's it. We like you and we want you included in what we're doing. Yes, you're perfectly capable of saying, well, I would like to be excluded for that. Or you know what? I think I'll sit this one out, and that's fine. You will sort of by proxy be ripping out our hearts and jumping up and down on top of it on a cold liquor store / gas station parking lot while it's misting in the night. That's our beating heart that you're jumping on with your cleats. If you say, I'm good, I don't need to see that, you're rejecting us. I want to show you this guy getting a rebound while everybody else was playing grab ass underneath the basket. We're doing it because we like you. And we just want you involved. That guy, I love. I love the guy. You know, I'm 5'10", but I play like I'm 6'4". One of my favorite things to do, basketball players, when the ball bounces, I like to, and people are trying to go get it, I like to instinctively go lower, closer to the ground with my hand. Because it's going to hit that before it bounces up and hits your hand that's waiting for the ball to come to you. It's such an easy one. When the ball comes off the basket, it's going to bounce. Just make sure your hand is lower to the ground, closer than the other hand that's trying to get it from you. It's a great tip. I was saying this to my wife the other day. I should be a basketball coach. Also, I'm going to try to learn how to speak French. D'accord? Je ne sais pas. Oui. Non. Peut-être. Peut-être. How does it sound so far? I'm going to get to our amazing weekend. For 3 days or 2 days now, I found some French radio station on Spotify or Sonos Radio and just have French gibberish circulating throughout my house. Because I wanna learn how to speak French. Because I wanna live like a bad guy in James Bond. I wanna live in the south of France. I wanna eat only delicious non-GMO, whatever that means, chicken. I want my lettuce pulled from the ground, stuck on the plate. In any case, I've had French playing throughout the house. I don't know anything about French, but I'm going to do it, d'accord? What do you want to know? I want to know what led you to be sitting in your bed on a Sunday morning screaming, I'll get it. Well, I'll tell you what. My mom and juggling instructor graciously offered to take my daughter on Saturday night. The heat is on in this room, and that doesn't make sense because it's 60 degrees outside. It should not be on. In any case, my wife and I were told on... Oh, my gosh. This needs another coffee. Okay, I'm back. Heat is off. Coffee is refreshed. Should have gotten some more water. Didn't. Podcast is going to be late, but it's going to be out, and it's going to be 45 minutes because it's already noon Eastern, noon. Anyway, it'll come out. It'll be fine. You will be okay. I will be okay. The world will continue to spin. Here's how Saturday went. I took my daughter to soccer practice I took my daughter to soccer is really what it is. It's not a practice, not a game. It's kind of soccer. Knowing that my wife and I were going to have an evening together. So we were kind of thinking like, well, let's front. I mean, we always front. Everything's front loaded for the girl. But on Saturday morning, we had breakfast here and we went to soccer. And it was the last session of the... whatever, 8 weeks or 10 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever it is. It was the last session, the one where they get a medal and they get clapped up. And interestingly, we did this last time, last year. The final game is parents versus kids. But I went knowing that this, so let's maximize the morning because in the afternoon we're going to get rid of the daughter and then we're going to have time for ourselves. What's interesting here is the game at the very end of soccer, which is a 45-minute thing, it's like the last session. You get that? I've made that clear. Last session, at the end of the last session, it's parents versus kids. And it's fun. It's a little scrimmage. It's a good time. Generally speaking, the parents don't try. And I think that's kind of good because the kids are like between 3 and 5 years old. And if you want to be teaching tough love lessons out there about sometimes you're going to get stripped of the ball or I'm going to slide tackle you and, you know, maybe make a rash challenge with my studs up, then that's how you're raising your kid. Tell them at every second that they have to grind and elbow somebody out of the way. And you know what? They'll probably make a lot of money or you'll probably make a lot of money. But it also is pretty fucking lame and makes you look like a try-hard tool lady bro when you do it. And that's how it was on Saturday. All the parents, myself included, and there were like 7 of us out there, would just like kind of stand there as pylons as the kids in a pack chased the ball around and tried to, first and foremost, keep it in bounds. But their momentum carries them so far away from the goal that they're going down the hill toward the street and the coach has to call timeout and say, come back on soccer island. But there was one woman who was really trying. Like the pack of kids would come up with a ball and she would dispossess them. She'd take it away from them. And my stomach is gurgling. Pardon me, my tummy is a little gurgly. A different woman said, oh, how's that scrimmage? Is it fun? And I said, yeah, there's usually like one aggro dad, which there was last time, another tryhard. And this time, I, after 3 minutes of the game, I said, oh, except I said to the other woman, I said, oh, you know, I said there was aggro dad. Today, it's aggro mom. Today, aggro dad is a mom. And it was really interesting. Like, why are you working so hard here? What are you satisfying? Are you showing us all how we should be raising our kids? Are you thinking about glory days when you played fullback for your junior varsity team in high school? Why are you taking the ball from the kids? You know the game is going to last like 7 minutes, and you take it away from them. It's going to be a lot for them to reacquire it and work out from the back. They're going to play out from the back, just like Barcelona in 2009. That's what they're going to do. It was kind of annoying. And then when she did dispossess, this was odd, she did dispossess a couple of the players. She passed it to her own daughter in front of goal and said, shoot. That's the world we're up against, people. That's where we lose our humanity. Because in that moment, I cared much less about her than I did the terrorists in Moscow. She was modeling with her actions and then confirming with her words for her kid. What you want to do is steal from the less capable and then give to your own side. Well, that's capitalism, dude. She fucking is probably a banker. In any case, it was very odd that this woman was trying so hard. But just like the aggro dad last time who tried too hard, what happens? She fell on her ass because she slipped. And her husband laughed, and I laughed with him. Because he was over on the side. He's a bro. And he's like, I married a lady, bro. That's what happens. She probably was the kind of dude that like calls him by his last name while they're having sex. You know? Go ahead, Schwartz. Give it to me, Schwartz. Or I doubt his name's Schwartz, too. You know what I mean? I don't think he's a... I don't think either one of them are Schwartzes. But you get the kind of... You get the kind of person I'm describing. She probably calls her husband by his last name while they're intimate. I don't want to think about that, but she fell on her ass and... It was a good time because her husband was like, yeah, what the fuck are you trying? And I was like, yeah, dude, what's the deal? He said, that's what you get for trying so hard. And I was not trying to be a dick to him nor his wife. I was trying to make a broader point about how sometimes I used to play basketball. I said, right, you especially don't try on defense. And he got a big chuckle. He knew exactly what I was talking about. You rest on defense and you save all your energy for glory like scoring baskets and goals. My daughter, as tradition is, netted a hat trick during the scrimmage. And then afterward, the coach said, this is crazy. She said, hey, I don't know if you know about our program, but every session we sponsor a player. And your daughter really tries hard and seems to have potential. And I'm like, are you going to sign her for Barcelona right now? Is she going to La Maisa? Oui. Oui. I'd have to find a French soccer team. Marseille, I guess, is who it would be. Because it's not going to be goddamn PSG. The nearly men of PSG. That's for anybody who watches soccer. PSG is a bunch of nearly men. In any case, the coach said, we have this... Your daughter tries, and that's really what she does. She's certainly not the most athletic, but she never stops running. And she just sticks with it. She falls over. She gets up. She does her thing. I'd like to sponsor her. We get to sponsor someone every session. So essentially what the woman said is, we like the way your daughter does her thing, and can we pay for her next session? Like, fuck yeah, it's like $260 or something like that. Absolutely, for whatever it is, 2.5 months. Yes, you can. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. So should we be now taking her to Barcelona or Marseille? I mean, she is 5. So that was kind of cool. And then my daughter heard it, and I was like, yeah, sure. And you could see her kind of smiling. But, you know, with these toddlers and preschoolers, you don't want to be too enthusiastic about anything because then they... will stop doing it because they think you want them to do it. So I'm like, yeah, whatever, you want to sponsor, fucking, that's cool, bro. But it was pretty cool. My daughter's the best, I know. Just like every parent's kid is. after soccer, we do the tradition. We go to Alejandro's on University in North Park. We get breakfast burritos or breakfast tacos or whatever it is. Go home, eat them. And then after me time, an abbreviated me time, I might add, the other things happen, bike rides and exercise and all that other stuff. My wife and I, at like 2:30, 3 o'clock, we drop the girl with my mom and juggling instructor, and we have the night before us. I told you, it's probably infuriating that my wife and I still get along and still have fun and make each other laugh. But I don't want to like paint like it's 24/7, just you're the greatest, I'm the greatest, we're the greatest. Not like that. Like, we drop the kid off, and then there's like a little pause about, all right, how, so we're different people now. We're not parents. And all of a sudden it's like, ooh, let's try me time again and go back and go take a proper nap now because our responsibility is gone. My wife takes the bull by the horns. She says, I'll get it. She goes and grabs the basketball as it's caroming off and said, let's go get massages. And I was like, holy shit, I haven't had a massage since I've been in California. And you know I'm getting my miles in. I'm going to the doctor. I'm getting my cholesterol checked. I'm seeing the dermatologist. I'm trying to live to see my daughter's 30th birthday. Which my mom's like, oh, no problem. You'll do it easily. Nothing is guaranteed, okay? I haven't had a massage since we lived in San Diego. My wife finds a place that can sneak us in at 4:30, and it was great. It was downtown San Diego. It weirdly was in a skyscraper. It was in a commercial building, like a glittery glass building where, you know, you imagine people are committing mortgage fraud and stuff like that. Well, there was a massage business, legit. I mean, we got massages and we paid for it. And we exchanged money on the fourth floor of this building on a Saturday where the person has to come down and let you go up the elevator. We went and got a massage, which is cheaper than a massage in Atlanta, by the way. Everything in San Diego is more expensive except apparently a massage. The only noteworthy thing about the massage is it was excellent. My God, was it? It was. She said, "Do you want it medium? Do you want medium or strong or hard? Strong, whatever." I said, "Strong, please." And I had to sync my breathing with her efforts on my back because when she was pushing down, I could not breathe. She was flattening my chest. It was amazing. I'm a different man. What I did not realize, it was going to be coupled. It was in the same room. So my wife and I are both getting worked on. And when they see, you walk in, it's like, okay, the two beds are there together. Your wife lays down here. You lay down here. Lie down. Objects lay, people lie. Your first thought is, all right, well, there's not going to be a happy ending here, right? And that's not why I go get a massage. But my wife and I have long had an understanding. If that were to occur, it's okay. At least that's my understanding of our agreement. However, it can't occur. Have I said this before? It can't occur if you're going to a place that is renowned for that. That is known for that? That is renowned for that? Like, you can't go to the massage parlor that says open in the neon sign inside the brick little building at 4 in the morning on Cheshire Bridge Road in Atlanta, or, you know, wherever, by Sports Arena or Rosecrans. By the way, Bruce Springsteen played in San Diego last night at the Sports Arena. It doesn't count if I go into one of those parlors looking for that. But if you happen to be at a nice place where you wouldn't necessarily expect that to happen, like on the fourth floor of an office building, I don't think, then it would be acceptable. In any case, none of that's going to happen because my wife is in the room with me. And, you know, I don't think she's asked for that, requested that. So despite being disappointed, no, it was phenomenal. We had a great massage. And then after, you know, we're 12 hours, we're like 24 hours notice. There's nowhere to eat at a good place. You know, all the best restaurants are going to be booked up with reservations. We found a place that could sneak us in and give us a terrible table. But it turned out to be great because it was tucked in the corner and it was kind of cozy and we could look out at the restaurant. And we went and we had a phenomenal dinner. We ate kind of adventurously, at least for me. My wife is a foodie, let's be honest. She's a great cook who watches a lot of cooking shows on TV and can talk about it now. Like the French is seeping into me over the last 48 hours in my house. The cooking and the knowledge and what the chef is trying to do is seeping into my wife. So she has a good understanding. She's kind of like, I'm like, oh, is this what the guy's doing here or the chef is doing here by trying this or that? And she's like, yeah, probably. And he really respects the ingredients. All right. So we have a great fucking life. We went out for dinner. We got massages. Then we went out for dinner. And then we're headed toward our neighborhood. We ate 15, 20 minutes away from our house. And I've had a beer and I've had a glass of wine. So I'm driving back toward my house. And she said, we have to stop one more time. And I was like, great. I love it. It's only, by the way, like 8 or 8:30 or something. Like maybe it's a little later than that. 8:30, 9. That's when we're finished with dinner. And we get back toward our neighborhood. And there are really two options. One is we can go to the Old Sod. I told you about that place where I thought I had a comedy show that was going to happen, and then it turned out there was some internal miscommunication, and it didn't happen. We could go there, or we could go to this other place, which is a little fancier, and the place I told you about where I might take my daughter for dessert. She has a chocolate mousse, and I have a red wine. God, do you ever listen to this? Like, God, dude, you're such a douchebag. Well, I don't, because I take my daughter out for chocolate mousse. That makes me a douchebag? Maybe. In any case, I'm not going to be self-referential like Netflix. So it's, do we stop and have a glass of wine there, or do we go to the Old Sod and maybe have a little nibble of Jameson or a beer or something like that? I clearly was on the side of going to the quiet wine drinking place. But my wife said, I can't go there because I'll have to get a martini, and their martinis are so good, and I've already had two drinks, and then I'll feel like shit. I was like, well, you can just not order a martini. She's like, no, I'll have to get it. Like, the way my wife was powered by this martini, you would think that she had no other choice once she entered that door to get a martini. She couldn't walk in and say, hey, can I get a glass of Cote de Rhum, right? She couldn't say, can I get a beer? Can I get a cup of coffee, for goodness sakes? Can I just have a water and a piece of pie? You would have thought she was ordained, like handed down from the heavens. She had to get a martini, and she didn't want to do that. So we went to the Old Sod, where we split like two beers and a Jameson. And the event of the night was karaoke. So we went from the bliss and rigor of a massage to getting showered up and going to a nice, pretty fancy, but not super expensive dinner. To karaoke in an Irish bar on a Saturday night. And it's a whole damn thing. People are hyped. There are clusters of people who are there just to sing, just to get drunk and yell their songs into the mic. The takeaway, and I'll let you go. The takeaway for karaoke, maybe I think of this as a podcast host, as a comic, as someone who has been a DJ, as someone who is thinking of coordinating the enthusiasm and engagement of an audience. Here's where karaoke does it all wrong. Everybody sings the song they want to sing. And it fucks it up for everybody else because invariably that song is not as beloved as Hey Ya, as some Justin Timberlake song that everybody knows, or some Adele song that I don't even know. I just know Drake sucks. That's all I know. It's just, I can't do the same day. It's just hard to listen to for me. The beats are just weak. Anyway. Just play like, it would be so much easier if people just played Journey, you know? Or Neil, are they all baseball songs? Neil, Neil Diamond. So what happens as a result of people only singing the songs, they're like, oh, that's my jam, I'm going to go sing that, is 65% of the crowd then kind of tunes out. And it's only when someone gets a song that most people know and like, does it become karaoke night. I didn't sing, and I'm not going to sing. Have I sung Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden at karaoke in my life? Sure. Did it go over well with two meddlers and nobody else in the bar? Yeah, absolutely. And that's the point. The point is, if you're going to go to karaoke, just play. It's like when I stood up in Ireland all those years ago. Have I told you that story? I must have. And I was asked to sing a song. And I sang a song that I'd written. The guy afterward came up and said, next time, play one they know. Just in karaoke, sing a banger. Sing All Night by Big Boy. Just get up there and do one that everybody knows. And you'll win. Because nobody did that. And so the karaoke was kind of weak. And my wife was kind of looking, I think, to stick around. She's like, oh my God, karaoke. And the host, he sings one. He sings like Little Red Corvette or something. He gets it. But everybody else, even though they can sing really well, they don't bring the room to the show. And that degrades the show for the greatest number of people. And people were so desperate for a song that they knew that when a woman sang a song that's like a theme song from a TV show where the last line is, the rest is unwritten, or the future is unwritten. The rest is unwritten. Like an all-new Gilmore Girls. Claire gets her period. Something like that. Everybody got hyped for that. The rest is unwritten. You know what I mean? We can do better than that. I hope you have a great week, and I hope that you are the person out there who says, I'll get it, because that makes life better. I'm grateful for you listening to this. I appreciate you telling everybody about it. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, former Central Jersey prosecutor, you know how to do it. YesJoeSmith@gmail.com. LNC, Mookie G, everybody out there listening, I'm grateful. And I will talk to you on Friday or sooner. You never know. Bye.